This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This shares my interview and discussion with Franklin Rotary Club members Dan Gentile and Bill Coplin. Our discussion was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Dan Gentile is co-treasurer and foundation chair for the Franklin chapter of Rotary. Bill has held several titles over his years of service and is now a regular and active member. We talk about the Franklin Interact Club, the nature of the Rotary itself as a service organization, service above self, and some examples of what they have done over the years. Some of the visible marks they have made are the annual Memorial Day Parade, the benches in the town common, and the bronze plaques on the light poles along the common walkways, to name just a few. The recording runs about 22 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Dan and Bill and find out more about what the Rotary does for Franklin. This is Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 on the local Franklin area dial. Today, with a couple of friends from the Rotary Club, Dan Gentile, co-treasurer and foundation chair. Dan, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Steve.
And Bill Coplin, many titles previously, but just a longtime member of the Rotary today, I believe, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
But I'm here, as usual.
You're here. And doing more than just being present, from what I understand.
Always willing, wherever I can.
And that's part of the Rotary thing, too, isn't it?
Right.
Yep. Service above self.
Service above self. Yep. And I came across at least the most recent iteration, other than setting up this one. There's a Franklin Interact Club that I believe is newly starting. I talked with a couple of young ladies from the high school during the summer as they were working on a project doing facial coverings and giving them off to local groups. I think there was a hospital, some police departments, et cetera. They also had other plans, as I'm assuming they're continuing to get set up and become fully official. But tell us a little bit more about Rotary and how that club interplays with that.
Sure. Rotary is a service organization. Actually, it's a network of friends and neighbors and business leaders and community leaders to solve problems. We are an international organization. There's about 1.2 million members around the world in 35,000 clubs in many cities. One of the things that Rotary and that we in Rotary do is we try to expand our organization and expand the concept of giving back to the community to younger groups. Part of that is high school and younger kids from the ages of 12 to 18. And we have an organization called Interact that Rotary clubs can sponsor local Interact clubs. And we've sponsored one here in Franklin. Mm-hmm. The other facet of that is Rotaract, which is geared towards kids from 18 plus, more of a college student. At one time, we did have a Rotaract club at Dean College.
Okay.
I think that's now defunct, but one of those things that we sponsored. But we're kind of really excited about the Interact club that's been developed. My understanding is that we do have a structure that's been built, and they are moving forward with trying to do some projects. So this is something that we've taken on, and we're really excited for the community.
Good. Yeah, because at least in my introduction to them, I talked with a couple of young ladies, as I said, based on some of the photos that I've seen them share in the social media that seem to be in some of their group gatherings. And again, probably still under the masking and social distancing, it seemed like 6 to 8, at least as a core. And if you've got that as a core, then you can do a lot. And I'm sure there may be larger, they'll continue to grow that over time.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. These young people have these great ideas. They want to do all of these things. They just need someone to encourage them a little bit. And that's kind of the role that we play, is that, you know, we underwrite the first part of the development, but then we're there really to encourage them and to help them and guide them as they move forward with their projects and fundraising. And it's just a great way for for younger people to give back to the community.
I'm just in awe of their motivation because as a kid that age, I had no interest at all in contributing to the community.
Yeah, and that's one of the hopeful signs. Clearly, as we've talked before we went in and record, there's this 2020 has been a rather challenging year for many folks between the political environment, just COVID, the pandemic. But there are signs of hope.
And I think tragedy can bring out the best in people, too, as well as the worst.
Absolutely. And to the extent that the young people are doing that, that gives me a lot of hope. Absolutely. Yes. And the other key reason we're starting to talk today, and I say starting because this may be one of a series. And to your point in terms of building some youthful energy and awareness in Rotary, clearly we're amongst a group that's certainly on the older age scale, but the Rotary's been around for 90 years this year. So not that each of us have been there all that time, but now you're starting to build somebody so he can take over after you go along the way too.
Well, this is what's very exciting. I mean, Rotary started in 1905 in Chicago by a lawyer by the name of Paul Harris. And he was recently moved to Chicago from Vermont, and he was a little bit lonely, and he got a bunch of business people together, and they started to develop friendships and then decided that, doing service projects for the community was a really great idea. And the first service project in Rotary, believe it or not, was to build public toilets in the city of Chicago.
Public toilets.
Public toilets, yes.
I didn't know that.
But Rotary, the idea of giving back to the community kind of expanded, and there were a number of Rotary clubs that developed over the years to now that we have 35,000 across the world. We were established in Franklin here in 1930. We are one of the first Rotary clubs in the world, one of the oldest. Mm-hmm. And we've been giving back to this community for an awfully long time. And this is something that we're excited about and something to be celebrated. What we probably would have done more from a celebratory standpoint had we not had we're not living in the times of COVID.
Right.
But it's still something that we want to at least make the community aware of that. Yeah, Rotary's been around here and the community has been really has benefited from the Rotary Club of Franklin throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know at least I've also seen, and I believe it's your group that does the spaghetti dinner for Central Park Terrace, at least annually.
Yes, I love it. It's one of those things where Johnny Padula kind of started this almost 30 years ago,
right?
To give back to the seniors and people that were living in federal housing, and I've kind of taken it on as a personal task from Johnny over the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
And it is exciting. And one of the things that we do, I mean, we spend all day making
pastas
and preparing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And after a long day, I mean, my day, starts at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and goes until we serve our last meal at like 7:30 that night.
Right.
But one of the things I do is after most of the cooking is done and the people are in that hall and they're eating that dinner and they're enjoying it, and we've got music playing.
Yep.
I sit in the back of the room and I just look at the faces of the people that are enjoying this. And you would have thought we gave them $1 million. But and there was, a young lady who actually a beautiful little old lady who is very youthful in her exuberance comes running up to me and she says, "I get my hair done once a year
for this."
and money can't buy that kind of, the gratification I have and the Rotarians get from being able to provide this. It's a little thing,
right?
But it is something that really is wonderful, and it's wonderful to see. So I get excited about it. It's one of my pet projects, and I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, I've had the fortune to be by a couple of times to take some photos. And back when Johnny was still here and Johnny was singing, he would entertain the crowd.
Well, he was amazing.
It has become much more than just a free meal. It's a whole social gathering for these people and for us.
Yep. Sure.
We enjoy it too.
Absolutely. Because it's that two-way, you know, the give and the take. And the more you give, the more you get, they say, so somewhere along
some
the way.
Some of us are getting to the age where we don't know whether we should be serving or sitting there eating.
Well, you know, what, one of the things that we get such enjoyment out of this that we've expanded it. And about 4 years ago, under the leadership of our president, Scott Martin, we established a Valentine's Day brunch. We realized that a lot of the seniors are locked in all winter and they have a sure. real difficult time getting out and around.
Right.
And wouldn't it be nice to have this brunch around Valentine's Day, where we would invite the seniors to come out. We would put on this wonderful brunch in a very similar format to the pasta dinner. And this thing has really taken a life of its own and taken off. And we're just happy that we're able to do that. One of the reasons that we do fundraise so that we can do these kinds of things in the community year in and year out. But it's not limited to that. I mean, the Franklin Rotary Club has done some amazing things in this town that people aren't even aware of. There's a Memorial Day parade yes. every year that we partner with the veterans groups to put on mm-hmm. and run.
Right.
And we've been doing that for years, that to celebrate the heroes in our community and fallen heroes in our community. So that's, you know, just another small thing that kind of goes a little unnoticed, but we're there. The park benches that people sit on in the Franklin Common
sure.
were put there by Rotarians and paid for by Rotarians.
Mm-hmm. And the lamps.
In the lamps.
So the lamps, if I remember, don't they have that little bronze plaque for the Citizen of
yes.
the Year? Was that one of your
yes.
pieces
yes.
as well?
That's
yes.
correct. That's correct. So there are those kinds of things. There's, you know, we're constantly underwriting things for the food bank, for Project Smile, you know, things that kind of go unnoticed.
Right.
But are there. We've developed this thing called the Bucket Brigade. We try to do each the end of each year now. You know, people recognize that the food, you know, from the food bank, people need food. But one of the things that they also need are cleaning supplies. And one of the things that we've done is we've put together this bucket brigade. We get a bucket and fill it through all kinds of cleaning supplies and donate those buckets
mm-hmm.
to the food bank.
Right.
That's been a very successful project over the last few years.
Sure.
And it's something that we want to, you know, we'll continue to do.
Yeah. Now, the food pantry, having been part of the board for 4 years earlier in my career and living here in Franklin, there's a bunch of things, to your point, the cleaning supplies, even feminine products, yep. are a challenge because you can't buy them with the SNAP benefits. And yet they're still needed by the people. So absolutely. The community organizations and or the donations step up to provide those needs for the food pantry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, you know, an amazing thing. I mean, Bill, you've been around here longer than I, and I'm sure there are a lot of other things that Rotary has done. Maybe you can expound upon that a little bit.
Well, we did quite a bit for the food pantry over two or three eras of management for the food pantry
mm-hmm.
and scholarships. We've given money not only to scholarships to high school students, but also toolkits and stuff to the graduates from the Volk School.
Sure.
Carpentry kits, plumbing kits, stuff like that when they graduated to the
mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a surprise to some of them to get a head start like that, because tools aren't the first thing you want to go out and spend money on when you're.
And
when
you're they tend to be expensive too to get the right ones, really.
Plus, when you join a company or something, if you have some of your own tools, that's a good sign.
Sure. Yep.
And then what else have we done? Oh, of course, there's always the world service part of it too, through Rotary Foundation and basically the main contributing vehicle for that is called a Paul Harris Fellowship, where if you pledge $1,000 over a certain number of years, 10 years usually, you become a Paul Harris Fellow, and this money goes towards all these world projects. And if you take $100 from each of 1.2 million people, you can do a heck of a lot with that money.
Yep.
Where, you know, I'm not a world service person. I could never go to Africa and do something like that. But to know that my money is helping other people do that is mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been blessed to be a part of the international service part of our organization. I think one of the things to kind of put it in context, Steve, is that, you know, the heart of Rotary is are the clubs. Mm-hmm. You have these 35,000 clubs with individual clubs that are geared to the community. And we provide, and each of us provides community service for that club.
Right.
But there is a network, an international network that ties all of those Rotary clubs together. And then we have our foundation, which actually finances a lot of the international projects that we do. Back in 1979, Rotary decided we need to eradicate this thing called polio, this horrible disease called polio. And we started raising money and we started sending Rotarians out into the world to inoculate children.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. By 1988, we were down to 135 countries that still had polio in them, and we had been able to eliminate it from all the other countries in the world.
Sure.
We are right now down to 3 countries left.
Wow.
Okay. We have raised over $1 billion to mm-hmm. inoculate these people. Over the last 10 years, the World Health Organization and Bill Gates have joined the fight and are helping to match some of the funds that we've developed.
Mm-hmm.
But make no mistake about it, Rotary has led the way in this initiative. And we have been, and this club here in Franklin has been an integral part of that in terms of raising money and being active in that fight. One of the nice things about Rotary is that it allows you to do things that you never thought you could do. I personally have been involved in a number of worldwide projects. I led a team I guess a number of years ago, over 10 years ago. 15 years ago.
Time flies when you're having such fun, though, doesn't it?
Time flies when you're having fun. But we did a water project in Honduras, and we sent a group of Rotarians down to Honduras, and we actually built a couple of wells.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself, and I was the assistant district governor in the area in Connecticut at the time, and I had a number of clubs that kind of reported into me, and we got together and we did this project down there.
Yep.
Once the team got down there, they realized that because of sanitary reasons, we had to put the well about a mile from the village.
Which was
great because they had fresh water, and we take that for granted that we got fresh water. But when you're living in some of these countries, they don't have fresh water. And stop and you think about how terrible that is and how the diseases that get spread because of that. But we realized that, boy, there was a real problem because the women in the village had to lug these jugs, fill them with water, and then walk a mile back to the village. So the following year, we raised a bunch of money. We went down there and we built an aqueduct from the well.
Ooh, yes, there you go.
And again, you would have thought we gave them the world.
Right.
And in essence, we kind of were, you know, when you stop and you think about
sure.
it. But those are the kinds of things from an international standpoint. That there's another thing that, you know, you lose sight of. We do these things. It's not just service. We have a lot of fun. We get to know people and we build relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rotary has this thing called GSE. Generation Exchange. And it's geared for younger people from 18 to 30 who are starting out in their business careers.
Mm-hmm.
And we would put teams together from like our district, and we would send them to another country, and that country that we sent them to, or that district overseas that we sent them to, would send their team of young professionals over here.
Oh.
And they would learn about our businesses and how we did business.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting because of that, I've made friendships around the world that I never would have been able to make. I mean, I'm friends with this guy named Mong, who is a marketing consultant from Mongolia. I never would have gotten to know Mong. He was a wonderful young man. But those are the kind of relationships you can build. There's a lawyer in Barre, Italy, that I became friendly with, and a rancher in Argentina, you know, that I never would have got a chance to know had we not had these types of exchanges. And one of the things that Rotary prides itself in is promoting world peace, but not through your typical political ways and stuff.
Right.
Basically, it's through understanding, getting to know people, building relationships, and trying to understand people on a more personal level. And that is one of the great things. Regardless of your political affiliation, we leave our politics at the door. We're here to do for the community. We're here to help people out and to listen. And that's kind of refreshing in today's day and age. And that's one of the reasons that I think Rotary is still very relevant. And it is so important that this is something that we carry on and that we don't lose this in Franklin.
No, I agree. And, you know, congratulations on celebrating the 90th year. And it, maybe there's going to 90 more coming.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, thank you for taking some time to share this. We've learned about the Interact Club. We learned a bit, certainly in the 90 years. We've only touched on maybe the tip of an iceberg. There's a small piece of it. So
it's a small, very small piece, yes.
Yeah, indeed. So thank you again for taking some time. I'm sure we'll have another discussion. But until then, Dan Gentile and Bill Copland, thank you very much. And best wishes as you continue your endeavors on Rotary.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.